continue in our Advent series. Our coming Savior is the name of our series. And of course, we know we've said this every week, and I'm going to continue to say it. The word Advent means the coming, the coming. This week, we're going to be talking about joy. And I think there's and we sang it this morning, and I think there's a perfect Advent carol for that. Joy to the world. So we're going to light the joy candle. Joy to the world. The Lord has come, which means that was the hope of the world. That was the hope of Israel. So we're going to light the hope candle. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. We talked about what last week? We talked about preparation. Preparing our hearts to receive the Lord. Not only that we have received him at Christmas, but that every day in our lives that we make preparation to receive him into our lives and to follow his leading and his guiding. Then it goes on to say, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Last week we talked about it was the Bethlehem star, which is that one, or the preparation. How that heaven and nature sang about the coming of the Lord. This week we're going to look at one of the ways that heaven sang about the Lord, and that's the story of the shepherd. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be reading this. We call this the traditional Christmas story. This is one that I've always liked as a kid. And I want to read that to you. Then we're going to talk about the message to the shepherds. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered or taxed. We don't like that word, do we? This census first came when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone in his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which they were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told him. Okay, we got a video for you, a shepherd video.
Wait. Someone has to watch the sheep.
What are you talking
about? Wait. Someone has to watch the sheep.
What are you talking about?
Someone has to watch the sheep. They're sheep, okay? They eat, they poop, they sleep. They'll be fine. Let's go. That is the same thing that you said when you wanted to go see the Mutton and Sons concert, and we saw it, and we lost half our flock. We lost half Sam! Angels! They just popped out of the sky, and instead of sprinting to Bethlehem, you're all like, no, we gotta take care of the sheep. What about their abandonment issues?
Hey, guys, I'm gonna race you, okay? Last one there is the stinky loincloth. Let's go!
Look, okay? The angels are there, okay? That's what they do. That's why we call them guarding angels.
No, it's guardian angels. Guardian.
Tomato! Who cares? Why are we still standing here?
Someone needs to watch the sheep. You know it, I know it, and the sheep know it.
Sheep don't feel.
You can't prove that. Fine. There's only one way to solve this. Rock, parchment, shears. Loser stays with the sheep.
Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Rock, parchment, shears, shoot! Ah!
Today, in the town of David, a Savior will be born unto you.
Right.
Why did the angel say that? Why did the angel tell a bunch of lowly shepherds about the coming of the Messiah? I mean, why us?
I don't know why us, but they did. So maybe this Messiah didn't just come for people that matter. Maybe he came for people like us. Which is all the more reason why we need to go.
I know. And I want to. It's just a lot to take in. It's been a crazy night.
Hey, did you see how fast I was running? Over there I was like a lightning bolt. But, no, you guys are never going to believe this. I forgot my good cloak. Can you imagine me meeting the Messiah without my good cloak? That would be ridiculous. I can't even. I'll see you.
Let me bottom line this for you. I, for one, cannot not go see this Messiah. Okay? So if what you're saying is that I, instead of seeing the man who's going to change everything, have to stay here and sheep sit, well, that just won't work for me.
You're right. But before we go, I'm not trying to nitpick, but you said cannot not, and that's a double negative. It is. Promise me when we go meet the Messiah, you cannot not talk like that. Promise me you won't talk like that to the Messiah. Promise me.
He's a baby. He's in swaddling clothes. I don't think he's going to care how we do.
Okay, fine. Me talk pretty. Let's go.
Wait. I think I just solved our problem.
What are you guys still doing here? What are you waiting for? It's the King of Kings, okay? So less standy, more runny.
Frank, take a knee.
Okay.
We were playing rock, parchment, shears.
Oh, yeah?
You lost.
Oh.
Those skit guys are a hoot. I want you to think about it a minute. It's a good thing I wasn't in charge of advertising or promotion. I'd have probably called Fox News, KATV, set up a press conference, invited the governor, the president. I mean, we'd have made a big splash with this thing, but did you notice that they didn't do that? It was shepherds. It wasn't the religious people. It wasn't the scribes and the Pharisees. It wasn't Caesar Augustus. It wasn't anybody in government that got the announcement, that got the visitation of the angels. It was shepherds. lowly shepherds. When we were in Israel, we saw some shepherds. Now, you know, in my mind, when I think of shepherds, I think of these guys in bathrobes with a rope around their and a big long stick. That's kind of not what we saw when we saw the shepherds in Israel. They were nomads. They kind of lived in little tents, and their children played around the tents. And when our bus pulled up to the side of the road to see the shepherds, we got swarmed by those kids. They were wanting candy. And so it kind of blew my mind because, you know, you kind of think of shepherds. Israel was an agrarian society. You know, they raised crops. They raised sheep. And you thought, man, that the shepherd was the prestigious job, and it really wasn't. So why did God choose shepherds? Why did he do it? I mean, he did it. It was flamboyant in the way that he did it, but his audience was so limited. Shepherds. People who were not of great influence. And you think about it, after this time, there's almost like 30 years of silence. Here we have these angels coming. They're singing. They're making this pronouncement, and it sounds like a big deal. And then all of a sudden, after that's over, silence. We do see Jesus appear at age 12 in Jerusalem, as he kind of stayed behind from the caravan that he was traveling in, and his mom and dad lost him, and they have to go back and find him. That's the only other time in his childhood that we see anything about him. And we don't hear anything until his baptism. It just seems odd to me. And I kind of like what they said. Maybe it was because that it's not the prestigious that are in control of this. You know, the Bible says that God doesn't call many mighty. The Christian movement has not been greatly influenced by the rich and the wealthy and the influential. It's more a thing of the common man, the common person, the common working person that has made Christianity the strength that it is. I just thought that was an interesting thing to look at. He did it quietly, but he did it big. I want us to read, and we're going to look at I want to go back to verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. You notice any time in the Bible where there is an appearance of the Lord or an appearance of angels, man's action is almost always fear. Could be for a couple reasons. One, what we've been taught about God. And another, that his presence is so amazing. His presence is so awe-inspiring. And, you know, awe, one aspect of awe is fear. The Bible talks about, and we've been studying about this on Wednesday night, about God's omnipotence, his power. One of the things that the Bible says that hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. You remember Moses in the Old Testament? He told God, he says, I want to see you. And God says, you cannot look on my face and live. It's just too much for you to comprehend. The presence and the power of God is so awesome that we can't look on him. And what God did is he stuck him in the cleft of a rock and covered his eyes with his hand, and he passed before him, and Moses looked at his hinder parts, his train, And when he come off the mountain, he glowed so much with the presence of God that they had to put a veil on his face. So when God shows up in a place, it is awe-inspiring. It brings fear. And the first thing that the angel says is, don't fear. Because you know, sometimes when angels show up, it's not good. When the angel showed up in Sodom and Gomorrah, it was not good. The outcome was not good. And so sometimes when angels show up, it's not good. But he says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy to all people. Now I want us to look at some phrases here that he talks about. He says, I bring you good tidings or good news. That Greek word is the Greek word evangelimeo, which is almost, it's another derivative of the word, anybody know? Gospel. The gospel. You know, you hear some people say, we need to preach the gospel. And what they say is not good news. Okay? The angel says, I'm bringing you good tidings. I'm bringing you the gospel. In fact, the gospel is going to play out before you tonight. You're going to see the beginnings of the manifestation of the gospel in the earth. You're going to get to behold something that is truly amazing, and it is good tidings. It is the gospel. See, our message to the world should be this, that Jesus has made a way for us to be with Him. That's the good news. It's not that, you know, you're going to hell, and we are going to hell, aren't we? When we don't know Jesus, we are going to hell. That's not good news, though. The good news is not that we're going to hell. The good news is that God has made a way that we don't have to. That's a good first service shout. So he says, I'm bringing you good news. I'm bringing you news. I'm bringing you the gospel. And the ideal in this word good news is that it is a verbal sharing. What did Jesus tell us to do as the church? He says, go into all the world and preach. Verbally share the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news that Jesus Christ has come. This is what we're celebrating this Christmas. This is what we celebrate on Christmas, that the Messiah has come. That's good news, that the Messiah has come. And then the second part of it is, you know, the two greatest days of the church is Christmas, and we've let the world almost take that one away from us, and Easter. Not only that He has come, but He has risen from the dead, which was the consummation of the gospel. We see the incarnation of the gospel in the coming of Christ, and we see the consummation of the gospel in the rising from the dead and ascending into heaven. It is the strength of the gospel. It is the good news. Jesus has come. The Savior has come. Messiah has come, and it is good news. Amen. So he says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Great joy. Now the word joy is the Greek word chara, and it just means joy. And I want you to think about something a minute. Think about the joy of a child. What do children get joyous about? Everything. Everything is exciting. Children, do y'all want to go to McDonald's? Oh, yay! Kids, we're going to go see Nana. We're going to Nana's house. Yay! Kids, y'all want some cookies? Cookies, yes, cookies. They're all, you know, there's a joy about children that's wonderful. What happened to us? Y'all were children one time. What happened? I said, what happened? Life happened, didn't it? Life happened. Reality kind of set in on us. We got married. We had children. We have to make... Yeah, I got divorced. We have to make a living. We have responsibility. And the things that we used to be so joyous about, we struggle with. We have allowed the world to steal our joy. Wouldn't it be a great thing if the church of Jesus Christ came back into a place of joy? Where we said, let's come together and worship. Yay, we get to go worship. Oh, gotta go to church. Go to church, go to work, go to bed. Go to church, go to work, go to bed. No. We need to come back into this place of joy. See, the gospel began with joy. The announcement of the Messiah, the announcement of the good news is a joyous message. And those who are participants in that gospel should be joyous people. Now, this is a great time of the year because, you know, you notice most everybody's nice. Most everybody is benevolent. I did talk to one of the managers at McDonald's this morning. Says she got cussed out by a customer yesterday. But by and large, people are benevolent this time of the year. They're think about their fellow man. It's amazing how people give to the less fortunate, and it's just amazing that, you know, this time of the year we seem to do that. Why can't we be that way all the time? Why can't we just be joyous all the time? Okay. Let's go back to our joy. Let's go back and rediscover our joy. Did you know that one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Joy. What's the first one? Love. What's the second one? Second one is joy. What's the third one? Peace. That's a pretty good combination. Love, joy, peace. Love, joy, peace. That should be characteristic to all of us as followers of Jesus. Why? Because God showed His love to us, and because of that, He has put His love in our heart. And if His love is in our heart, we should be grateful, joyous people, and we should live and walk in peace. Yes. Preach it, brother. Oh. He goes on to say, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, let me notice what it did not say here. It shall be to Jews. Who was the promise of the Messiah given to? The Jews. Who was looking for, who was supposed to be looking for the coming of the Messiah? The Jews. Who did they think it was for only? The Jews. But did you notice here? He says, I'm going to bring you good tidings of great joy to all people. All people. All people. Who's the gospel for? Who's the good news for? It's all people, isn't it? It's all people. I doubt if we might have a Jew or two here. By birth, I doubt it. Most of us are Gentiles. In fact, even Jesus said that he was sent to the house of Israel. Okay? But guess who got to participate in that good news? Us Gentiles. See, the angels knew that. The angels proclaimed that. The angel says, this is going to be good news. It's going to bring great joy to all people. I love that. Now, he goes on to say, for there is born to you this day, today, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. When was he born? This day. today. Today. I love something that the Bible says, that today is the day of salvation. It's not yesterday. It's not going to be in the future. It is today. What happened that day affected our past, our present, and our future. But we need to be people of today. We need to be people of today, because Jesus is alive today, and you and I are alive today, and we need to live in today. God has got something for you today. It's not what He has done for you. It's not what He is going to do for you, because both of those are true. He has forgiven your sins. He goes to prepare a place for you, that some of our loved ones are there right now. He's gone to prepare a place before you. But listen, He has something today. Today. It's an ongoing relationship with the Lord, and it's a today relationship. Today. Today is the day. Then it says that calls Him the Lord. The Lord. What is a Lord? A Lord is a ruler. Calls this baby Christ the Lord. Christ is Messiah. Lord. Ruler. He didn't look like a ruler. He didn't look like a king. Although we know, we studied last week how that Herod was heard that he would be called king of the Jews, and how that was intimidating to him. But he was a baby. He was a baby. But He is Lord. It means ruler. We might use the word CEO, boss. In the scripture, in the New Testament, that Greek word Kairos is used 166 times, but in the book of Luke, which we're reading, it's used 99 times. It's emphasizing that Jesus is Lord. What does the Bible say? That every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Didn't say Savior. It didn't say baby. It said Lord. Lord. That's why He came. He came to save us and for us to confess Him as Lord of our lives, of ruler, of king, of boss of our lives. He wants a relationship with us, and He wants us to call Him Lord. Lord Jesus. Say this with me. Jesus is Lord. Say that again. Jesus is Lord. That's good. Amen. Then it says that the glory of the Lord appeared. The glory of the Lord appeared. As these angels begin to sing, the glory of the Lord appeared. Now, the glory is the presence. The presence of God appeared. And what followed that, what was the message? Peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. The glory appears. Then what follows the glory? Peace. Peace doesn't come first. God's glory revealed. How was God's glory revealed? Not just with the angels, but isn't the incarnation of the Messiah, isn't that the glory? Does not John's gospel tell us that we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth? He was the glory of God revealed. And what follows Him? Peace. The peace of God and the peace with God. What did we say a while ago? That the fruit of the Spirit is what? First, love, for God so loved the world that he gave. What follows that? Joy. Follows that? Peace. So when the glory of God appeared, peace was the thing that followed. Now let me just end with this thought right here. We're just celebrating. We're not trying to teach you deep revelation. We're just celebrating the season that we're in. We're celebrating what it's all about. It's not about deck the halls with boughs of holly. Fa la 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 la. Although I like that too. We're celebrating what this is all about. About God's glory appeared in flesh and dwelt among us. And it brought joy, and it brings peace into our life. So what is it that when we glorify God, because what are we supposed to do? Why are we in this earth? Our highest calling in this earth is not to go preach the gospel. It's not. It's to glorify God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about giving our bodies to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Our everyday life, our not just, you know, don't make that some religious thing. It's about our everyday life, going to work, living life, our marriages. It's about giving ourselves to be God's sacrifice, which is our reasonable worship. You know what happens when we do that? When we glorify God, it causes us to live with a heart full of peace. It doesn't always change your circumstances and situations in life. Life can be yucky, can it? Life can be crazy. Life can get out of control. But listen, you can have peace in the midst of trouble. Amen. You can have peace in the midst of trouble. You can walk in peace. You can walk in peace when you bury a loved one. You can walk in peace when you're struggling financially. You can walk in God's peace. Our job is to glorify Him and to walk in peace. Amen. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come if they would. And we got a few minutes that we can do some stuff if we need to here. If you're here today and you need prayer for anything, maybe you're here today and you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Maybe you need to come back to the Lord. Maybe you need prayer for a situation or circumstance in your life. We're going to give place to that right now and allow you to come, and we're going to pray. But let me pray a prayer as we get ready to do that. Then we're going to stand and worship. Father, thank you. Thank you for joy. Thank you for a joy that's beyond a feeling. A joy and a peace in knowing that we know and love you. That we bring glory to your name by our lives. Thank you. We worship you today in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? If you're here today and you need prayer for any reason, please come at this time.